kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Consider, and we're calling our teaching today, do you have a love for the truth? Do you have a love for the truth? And I want to base this from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and as we look at verses 2 to 12, I think we're going to understand why the Lord's given us this title, because this chapter particularly speaks about the great apostasy of the last days of which we are in. I don't think it takes much discernment at all to realize the times that we are facing and we are now in. And one of the things that is happening is that we cannot believe most of what we hear today in the news around the world or what a lot of people are saying. And because this is being exposed, we are finding a lot of fear and insecurity comes as a result. And those things that we trusted, we believed, we put all our eggs in one basket only to find that a lot of it was lies. Lies of the enemy, the god of this world that blinds most. And sadly, many believers who confess Christ in the house of God are shaky, are not always sure, and there's fears that is attached. Well, we want to address these today, and hopefully it's going to be deliverance so that we can be secure in the one who feeds and teaches us and leads and guides us into all truth. So with that, let's begin to read this in Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 2 to 12. In actual fact, we'll start from verse 1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you, which we are doing today, we are gathering together unto him. And this is also being addressed to us in FGA. Do not be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? So we see the apostle, this was something that was debated and talked about, just like it is today. And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness or iniquity is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and the destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, deception amongst those who perish, because they do not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, and that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And then it goes on about where we're to stand fast in that truth, and so on. We know that there is much about the coming of the Lord. It's continually now spoken of. It is spoken continually in Christendom. We have had much teaching and will continue to have much teaching with regard to the coming of the Lord, because we know that the bride is making herself ready. Why is she making herself ready? Because she who loves the truth sees that the Lord is coming, and he is first coming for his bride in the clouds, calling the overcomers, the first fruits, away. They are the ones who have applied wisdom with regard to the word that they receive. In other words, they are not running off with every wind and doctrine and latest thing and so on. This is a huge problem in the house of God. Why is it such a problem? Because a lot of Christians are getting tired of their walk. They're getting tired of their everyday experience and walk and trials with the Lord. And in their heart and spirit, they're saying, give me a break. I want something different. I want something new. I am fed up with going round the same course day after day after day. Nothing new. You've said it, I've said it in the past. And it's the grace and mercy of God that keeps us with his word. It may appear each day as though we go round the same circuit, but all of that is for a purpose, to teach and train us, so that we don't go off with these new revelations and doctrines and sensationalism that so many are putting their ears to. And this is why we have to be very discerning with what we hear, particularly on social media. It is bombarded with it. And of course, I get many, many videos that are sent to me that I have to seek God and get that discernment and get that savvy to discern these things. And we know that there is no smoke without fire. But much of what we get today on social media, we have to shelve it and wait. That is why we're called as Christians to wait on the Lord. And that waiting is so that God confirms, he speaks, he reveals, he shows by the light of his word. And we do not make the mistake that a lot of people do through reacting, throwing the baby out with the bathwater. We're not called to react, but to act by faith. And faith will always leave it with God, because God, who is our teacher, will confirm in his right way and time. And this is how we're going to be able to walk in these treacherous times that we are finding ourselves in now. The devil is throwing the book at the house of God to try and confuse us and hold us in fear and unbelief. And all those who are not being grounded in the word of God, learning the word of God, learning these promises, will come unstuck. If it were possible, even the very elect could be deceived, which means he's after the elect. He's after FGA. And others as well. We are the prime target because we are lovers of the truth, the Word of God. And this is why he's given this title today. Do you have a love for the truth? What truth? What we read in God's Word. That is the love that we are to have, because the wise virgins who have that extra vessel of oil are lovers of the truth. That is what has given them that extra oil. For what? For light. Because the lights are going out. And this extra oil which feeds this light will be the light that will give us the ability to stand in these last days when lights are starting to go out. And that is what is beginning to happen. It takes the grace and mercy of God, and that is why we've stayed with the deeper life teaching over these years, because we've seen what gives us that extra vessel of oil that is needed as those five wise virgins to stand in these last days. And that is why that light enables her to make herself ready for marriage. Purification, in other words. And I stress this because we need to understand this in the light of this chapter that speaks about apostasy. He says, not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if some of us, though the day of Christ had come. So, he's speaking here of many who have said, the Lord has come, the Lord is coming, we are in the last days, be on your guard, listen to this teacher who has got a revelation about the coming of the Lord, has got revelation about what is going to happen. Note in verse 2, nothing new under the sun. Exactly what was going on there that the apostle said, I warned you about, is going on today, but infinitely worse. This is global now that's going on today, attacking the Church of Christ. In other words, what it reads here, it implies many will be surprised, many will be shocked about the reports, about the news that they hear. Are you? Does it shock you? Does it cause you to become unstable, confused? Because he says, don't be troubled. Don't be shaken in mind. Don't be troubled. Don't let the enemy affect your spirit, either by a video you hear, or something that you have read, or news that you heard on the news, whatever it would be. That's the modern day version of what we hear through social media. He says, as though it's something new. It's not. Don't. Go back to the Word of God that feeds you. Don't be troubled by these false teachers and doctrines, these words, these letters, these books, these videos, these films, all about Christ or Christ coming. Many films have come out about Christ, Jesus, or biblical films. Do you know that Deuteronomy tells us not to make false images of God, to blaspheme his name? We're not to make images, it says in the Ten Commandments of God. And yet they do. Who knows what he looks like? How can you describe what he looks like when you read in Revelation 4, 5 and 6 of him in his throne room? Try and paint a picture of that. Try and take a photo of that. And yet man feebly tries to do so. They've made Christ today Hollywood, a star. We're bombarded with it. God knew the right time in which to bring Christ into the world, when there wasn't videos, cameras, films. God knew what he was doing. And yet we are bombarded with it today. You have ministers who preach the word, love to put their images up of Christ to back what they're preaching and teaching. Who are they fooling? This is all part of the great apostasy. And the West have made pictures of Christ with blonde hair and blue eyes. Who are they kidding? We have so much bondage today that we put our ears and eyes to. And that's why we have to come back to the love of the truth, the word of God, because we are facing the great apostasy and falling away now. What did Christ say himself in Matthew 24? Matthew 24 and verse 4. Matthew 24 and verse 4. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you." There you go. Take heed. And then he's going to talk about the last days, the great tribulation, the coming of the Son of Man. The first thing he opens up with before he begins to speak, make sure nobody deceives you. We are vulnerable. We are totally and utterly dependent upon Christ, upon the Holy Spirit who has come to take over, to lead and guide and teach us. So don't let us be troubled. In other words, don't react, but act in faith. And then it goes on in verse 3. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. We are right in the process of the global falling away. And how is this happening? What is causing this falling away of the last days? In Hebrews, where God says, "I will shake the heavens and the earth." The shaking is causing the great apostasy and falling away. The world is being conditioned for the Antichrist's appearance. That is what is happening now. The world, the governments, everything are manipulating and working towards this great leader, the Antichrist, that will come upon the world. He will come as a great political person and a religious person. The man of sin will be revealed, the son of perdition. And everything is being geared towards the one world system, the one world. Everything is coming under this banner. These are the signs that we are seeing. And that is why we have such great confusion now in all of this, where they call black white and white black, where there is such a compromise on sin and rebellion, which is getting worse and worse, which simply reveals a love for the world, a love for its ways. And that is why God calls us out of this world. That is our heart and affection. For this very reason that is happening, because of the great falling away. If you do not allow the Spirit to separate you from this, you will fall and be deceived by it. And then it goes on in verse 4. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. You've got your so-called spiritual leaders, one world, ecumenical, all compromising, making way ready for his appearance to come, who will embrace all religions. You can all get to God through these different religions. That is what is being promoted now, and that is what attacks us. And we're called fundamentalists. They call us cults because we believe and confess that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father except through him. That is what they come against. They oppose, they exalt themselves above all that is called God, true worshippers of God. And he will finally come, deceiving the world, and will take his place in the tribulation temple that they will build and are ready to build. Jews are deceived. There is a remnant, thank God, who have received their Messiah as Saviour. But most of Israel is deceived and will go ahead and build this temple, little realizing that he's going to come and make covenant with them to deceive them. And that they will think, now we have received our Messiah. But they do it after the flesh. We are now true worshippers who worship God not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And they're blinded to that, because they love the world. And that is what the world does in deceiving us. You love the world, and you will be troubled in spirit. You will waver. You'll be shaken in mind when things come up, or whatever it will be. But if you are out of the world in your heart, nothing will trouble you, because you are secure in the Lord Jesus Christ and in his word that feeds you day and night. And so we see, don't we, a type today who think that they are untouchable, that they are above the law. As he says, who opposes and exalts himself, that he called above all that is called of God. Aren't we seeing today an elite who believe that they are untouchable? They are above the law. They make their own laws now. This is what we're beginning to see in the world. The law is being broken. Our courts, our judges are compromised. They're corrupt. Our police are completely confused. These are the things that we're seeing now before our eyes. They exalt themselves above all that is called of God or is worshipped. They now make their own God in their own image. They make their own laws. They're breaking everything. This is why God has called us to pray for our governments, to pray for democracy, to pray for our police, our judges, because they're becoming corrupt. Nothing can be trusted anymore. Thank God for the word of God that we stand upon. And then he says in verse 5, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? Nothing new under the sun. What the apostle was saying in those days, the Holy Spirit is saying still the same today. How much more? 2,000 years we're now nearer the coming of Christ than when these saints believed at the time that they were going to see the coming of the Lord in the clouds. But it wasn't the right time. Israel had not been restored again as a nation. And then in verse 6 it says, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. Praise God for this. The Holy Spirit through us, the overcomers, the true church of Christ, holds us back because we still proclaim the gospel. We still reveal to the world that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. The word of God must still go forth to the four corners of the earth. That is what restrains this from finally coming. Who? The Antichrist, who will appear to the world suddenly, take the world by surprise. That's exactly how the devil does it. We, the church, the bride of Christ that's making herself ready, restrain this, hold it back until we are caught out of the way. And then it all changes. The tribulation and the great tribulation starts. And the one who is worthy to open the scroll opens the scroll up in heaven before the elders, the overcomers, all of them around his throne. You read it in Revelation 4, 5 and 6. There they watch. He's the only one who's now worthy to open the scroll. And in those scrolls, the four horsemen will go forth and the trumpet judgments, the seals will be open upon the whole earth. It is going to be awesome when that takes place. And here we are, God's church, Christ who is head over it at the moment, restrains it until the appointed time when we're taken out of the way. And then we read, don't we, in verse 7, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. It says the mystery of lawlessness. You had to have your eyes opened. The God of this world blinded our eyes to what has been going on for centuries, for thousands of years in this world. The God of this world blinding, and it's called the mystery. And now it is being exposed in these last days. The corruption is being revealed because God is shaking the heavens and the earth. His light is now shining on darkness. And what are we seeing? The mystery of lawlessness, which has been at work, is now being exposed. And he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. So as God is revealing to us the powers of darkness, he's revealing to us the work of the devil and what he's up to, it's being exposed. This is why we pray, we intercede, We get into warfare. We pray over governments. We pray over these corrupt leaders, those in high places, so that it will be exposed, the mystery of what they're up to, what the devil has been up to through these centuries is exposed. And particularly one of the things that we are to war against is the Masonic that's held the world in this mystery of lawlessness. That is certainly one of the things you war against and in the spirit. Has a huge hold. It's cultish. It's devilish. It's demonic. It's witchcraft. The point is that the world doesn't see this, but your eyes have been opened to see. And let's just remind ourselves what the Lord has done in Matthew 13 and verse 11. Matthew 13 and verse 11, and he answered and he said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. You have been given revelation, understanding of the mysteries of heaven. Notice the word, it's what is hid. And it has to be revealed. It has to be opened up to you. God has to use his anointed teachers, preachers, to reveal to you what is there for the purpose that you can not only learn of what is going on in the world, but also that your prayers and warfare will be effective. Because we need to remember what we were before God did this to us, opened our eyes. Let's remind ourselves in Romans 7 and verse 5. Romans 7 and verse 5, for when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. That's what you were. That was what was happening. But the law, the word of God, aroused in you. It condemned you of your sin, your rebellion, your blindness, your lack of love for the Lord. That's what it did. And that's the mercy and grace of God, that you now can receive the mysteries of the kingdom of God that many strive for, many try to understand and work. Many, even theologians and all the myriads of books that are written on theology, all trying to find the mystery that they're blinded from. What have we done to deserve this? We haven't labored years and years in studying the word to try and discover these. They were divinely given to us by the mercy and grace of God. This is why I say you don't strive in this walk. You either are or you're not. A king doesn't try to be a king. He is one by birth. And the moment you try to strive and work in this walk, you lose it. It's divinely given by the mercy and grace of God to those who bow the knee, who come humbly in his presence, knowing that we know nothing unless it is revealed. We all think we know. We all think we have the answers, but we don't. It is by God's grace and mercy he reveals these things to us. And then we go on back in 2 Thessalonians 2 in verse 8. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Wow. Just look at that. Hollywood can't make a film out of that. It'll be a feeble attempt to what's going to take place on that day when the lawless one is revealed. In other words, the eyes of the world have had their eyes open that they have been deceived by this false leader, the Antichrist, which means another Christ in place of. That's what it means. And the Lord, when he returns, will consume, what with? The breath of his mouth, and destroy with the brightness of his coming. What is the breath of his mouth? He is the word of God that we hold, that we adhere to, that we preach. And the brightness of his coming, that pure light that he is, will expose and burn it all up that is not of him. Wow. The Bible has much to say about God's presence. And we need the presence of God. God's presence deals with whatever is wrong with us. The unbelief and hardness of heart. We are desperate for the presence of God. And that's why we come together in unity and oneness. We pray over our meetings for the purpose that God will bless us with his presence. Because without his presence, what is the point of meeting? None at all. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. It is not something to run away from in fear if you are secure in Jesus Christ. Your heart cries out for his presence. That's what it does. The world isn't. The world is running away from this light because they prefer darkness to light. And then it goes on, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs and lying wonders. So we're seeing this now that's taking place in the world, these signs of lying wonders. And a lot of this will be used in technology. The digital world will all be used by the enemy, the lying signs and wonders. And that's how he's going to come. You see, Satan can only use what he has in the world that God created out of nothing. He can't create out of nothing. Only God can do that. God spoke the word. The enemy can't do that, so he has to counterfeit. This is where we get the idea of magicians who deceive, beguile. It's not really miracles. But they're very clever in deceiving you. And that's what he's going to do. And most will be deceived by these signs. What does it say in Matthew 12? Matthew 12 and 39. Matthew 12 and 39. But he answered and he said to them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. And of course, Jonah was called to Nineveh, that wicked city in which God had mercy over it and forgave them and pardoned them for a number of years. That's the signs. If you want signs, God is saying, the signs in the last day will be my mercy, forgiving, saving, That will be the greatest sign. The greatest miracle is the conversion of a soul born again. I was aware of that miracle in my life, and you should be, because you know it can't happen in the natural. We're rebellious. We're proud. We're independent of God. And he still has to work with us. But I am aware of a miraculous miracle that has happened. And we should be as well. But the world isn't looking for that sign. Not at all. You see, some will only believe in signs and wonders. You've got people professing Christians who walk in such a manner. Look what it says in Mark 13 and verse 22. Mark 13 and verse 22. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. In other words, it's saying it's going to be that close. Wow, I don't know about you, but that really throws me on the mercy and grace of God. Lord, please don't let that happen to me in your mercy and grace. That is how close it's going to be. And then we move, don't we, on to verse 10. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they do not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And here it is. This is the warning. It is the love of the truth. Do we love this truth? Do we love the word of God? That God is setting me free. He is speaking life into my heart and spirit. Do we love it? Do we cherish it? Do we hold on to it? That is what he's looking for. He says, with all unrighteous deceptions among those who perish, because they do not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. They don't even hear when the love of the truth is being preached, that they might be saved. Isn't it tragic what the God of this world has done in blinding the eyes and mind of people? But God has got a remnant to himself who will be lovers of the truth and who will hear and hold on to it. In other words, custodians of God's word. And listen to what he says to those in the house of God, those who call themselves Christians, who don't really love the truth, the word of God. This is the warning, and this is what we are seeing now today. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie. Wow, isn't that tragic? They actually believe they have the truth, and yet they hold on to a lie. Why is this? Because they walk in their own deception, their own pride. They want God on their own terms. And it can't be. But you see, many who are not discerning what is happening in the world, who are confused with the great apostasy and falling away, whom we see back in verse 2, are shaken in mind, troubled in spirit, or whatever it is, because they're not settled on the word of God as they know they should be. God says, I'm going to send you strong delusion that you won't be able to believe. That is really scary. And we have to let God be God, because some part of us will say, well, where is the God of love that we're supposed to know and talk about. There you are seeing the glory of God, His holiness in operation. Let that not be any of us who fall under this strong delusion. Delusion is an interesting word. In the Greek, it's planseia, and it means to wander or to veer off, or it means to be led astray. It also can mean to have wrong opinions, and that's why we need to be very careful with our opinions, and particularly over the Word of God, because we can open the door to this delusion. And this can also speak in a moral and ethical sense. For example, just to remind ourselves, in Ephesians 4 and verse 14, Ephesians 4 and verse 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceit and plotting. Well, if that doesn't speak of this generation, I don't know what does. Everybody's plotting, deceiving, betraying one another, which is exactly what the Lord said would happen in these last days. So that's what that word means there, with regard to sending a strong delusion. What does Peter have to say with regard to this? 2 Peter 3:7. 2 Peter 3:7. He says, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. And that is what it is. God is preserving, keeping ready to judge all of this in the last days. What does it say also? And he says to us to encourage us in verse 18 of that same chapter, but growing grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So we grow, we mature. And this is where we get the idea and understanding that we grow up in the Spirit into sons, daughters of God. Not children which are thrown around to and fro, insecure. No, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. That's what our prayer should be for each other. And going back to this verse, in verse 11, we've looked at the word delusion, strong delusion, that they should believe the lie. Now, what does this mean? Well, the Greek word for lie is pseudos, and that means something that is false. It's deceit. It's beguiling. And we get understanding of this word, for example, in John 8:44. John 8:44. And you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. So when Satan quotes the word, and he can quote it, he knows the word better than you do. But the difference is, it comes from him. There's no life in him. And there is the difference. Even the devils believe on Jesus and tremble. So because you hear a teacher who quotes the word and talks about Jesus doesn't necessarily mean that it is anointed. This is why 1 John 4, you have to test the spirits. That's how the devil came to Eve, to deceive her. And he twisted that word and she believed it, you see. Now, what does it say in Romans 1 and verse 25? We're talking about deceit. He's sending them a lie. Where is this idea of the lie spoken of? In Romans chapter 1. And here it is, verse 25. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. In other words, what it says is they bring God down to worldly, earthly understanding. Man's corruption. That's what it means. And he says, for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. And so it goes on. And that, of course, is what we're seeing today with this LGBT and everything that's going on. Utter confusion. Because they believe the lie. God made male, female, made he them. Do you want to know what sex you are? Just look down and have a look. It's not rocket science. That is how the world is going now. It's lost it. And it's all become political, divisive. People being sued now if you speak out against it and so on. What is it? Here it is. They believe the lie. Well, finally, as we close with all of this, looking at this great apostasy in this chapter, what does it say finally in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27? 1 John 2 and verse 27. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. There you are. We have the anointing that teaches us, which we receive because we abide in him. And therefore, he says, because you abide in him and I abide in you, I have come into your life as your teacher to lead and guide you into all truth. And he says, there is no lie in me at all. As you abide in me, that light will deliver, will teach, will guide, will lead you, will speak to you, deliver you, open the word of God up to you. That is what it means. And that is what he does by the anointing. Hallelujah. Well, there we are. Do you have a love for the truth? That is what we have been talking and expounding on. And I trust that it has helped and blessed and possibly answered questions. But we are a very blessed and fortunate people, and we've done nothing to deserve this. It's because God first loved us.
Let him in constancy follow.